Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here each week bringing over 50 years of market planning, trading. What kind of experience? Pretty much all forms.
That's right.
As it pertains to financial matters.
And I don't know about you, but I have the scars to prove it.
You've been getting scarred pretty well over the last couple of weeks.
Well, not really scarred. I'm touch wood fine so far, but we'll see.
Yes. And it's times like these, everyone who has an investment portfolio is hearing the same headlines we are. And this is one of the reasons why we have created this show.
I don't know. I don't know how many headlines there are out there, but there are a lot.
There are plenty. So
wow,
we could just spend the entire show just reading the different headlines that are available to cause you to panic and do something.
You've got to do something,
though. Yes, absolutely.
According to the press, you just buy, or sell, but right. Just don't stand still. You got to go in a direction, right?
Well, if we look, was it earlier this week or the end of last week? Royal Bank of Scotland came out and said,
get out of everything.
Run away from U.S. equities. The U.S. equity market is going to be down 80% this year.
Wow. 80.
80.
Not so sure I go to 80, but I can see 40.
Yeah. Well, but I find it interesting because
80. Where did he get 80
that's
from?
The first time I've heard an investment bank ever say, get out of the equity market altogether with that big of a prediction.
80 would take it the S&P to 400, so below the 08 lows. Mm-hmm. Be some buying opportunities down there.
You think so?
You would have Apple at $20 a share.
But who knows? Maybe Apple only needs to be at 20 and will stay there forever.
Correct. But then you'd have other. I mean, there'd be some real juicy buys.
Opportunities. I mean, Warren Buffett, the master himself, during the 08 mm-hmm. crash, he was the only guy openly saying, I am seeing opportunities created every day. There are a lot of sales taking place. The blue light special is in full effect throughout all of 08, and he put his money to work. And this past year, he had his greatest quarterly profits ever.
Well, let's just talk about that 80% down, right? Let's just talk scenarios. So if you take an average price-to-earnings ratio on the S&P, in a normal market, and who knows what that is anymore, but in a normal market, it's around 15, right? So you write down these numbers so we can calculate and see where we get to.
Great. Math.
Yeah. So, but if that's a normal market, but in a bear market, it can easily fall to a price-to-earnings ratio of 10 because everything contracts, right? And people sell way too fast. So now we've got a PE of 10. So let's say the S&P right now, the earnings have fallen from $120 a share to $80 or $90 a share. Let's assume those get cut because you're entering a recession and all the S&P gets hit and the earnings drop to $40 or $50 a share, right? Let's just say 40. Mm-hmm. So if you have a PE of 10 and you've got earnings of $40, guess where the S&P ends up with? You can work that one out. Yeah.
Much lower.
400. So there you go. There's your 80% correction.
Right.
I would think then, I haven't read that RBS article, that's probably the theory that they've used to get to the 80% down.
Sure.
Now, I've been saying all along that there's at least a 40% correction because if you just take the S&P 500 and you just leave earnings even the same at 80, and you just get it back to a 15 PE, that's 1,200.
Because where have we been operating?
22. So if you go down to 15 on the same earnings of 80, that gets you to 1,200.
Right.
1,200 from 2,000 is your 40% correction.
Right.
I mean, that's where it's been artificially propped up by the Fed. And that's the one thing you and I have discussed is how long do you really think the Fed's going to sit on the sidelines watching all its hard work get destroyed in a month
sure.
without jumping back in and saying, hey, we think we should reduce rates now. Oh, and we're going to start printing money again.
Right.
Which it would be the biggest mistake known to man, by the way, for the simple reason of their job is not here to protect the stock exchange. Their job is to promote jobs
keep
inflation at bay. Mm-hmm. Now, inflation in theory is at bay according to their numbers, and we're at full employment. So they should just let the market do what it should do, and that is wash out.
Right.
If they do that, I think we've got a shot at recovery.
It needs to find its equilibrium.
Correct, because it's out of equilibrium. Now, their theory is, as we've mentioned many times on this radio show, that trickle-down effect.
Right.
So they're relying on the stock market to go up, people to make money through stocks and then start spending, and that trickles down to small business. Now, you and I were talking just before we came on the show that we felt that small business has started gaining traction recently. So maybe that trickle-down effect, although it took 8 years, finally got here. So if we go into recession right now, those little grass shoots that the small business owner is feeling will instantly be napalmed. I mean, that's the strongest word I can use in terms of just destroy. I mean, it's one little grass shoot peeking its head out of the dirt, and we're going to drop a napalm on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be gone in a millisecond.
Right.
And that is going to hurt very badly the middle class. And the middle class, as we've discussed on this radio show over and over and over again, has already shrunk to the smallest percentage of American economy that it's ever been or been since like the 40s or something ridiculous. If it shrinks further, that's going to create some major headaches and headwinds in terms of any form of economic recovery. Because those are the people that are creating the jobs, creating the businesses.
Those main drivers.
Yeah. And they're getting wiped out left and right.
Right.
It's a really scary situation. So, I mean, I don't want to scare everyone, but I'm just telling you the reality of what the data points are. And that's why, to me, to go all the way back, the Fed needs to keep its powder dry and be ready in case that scenario does play out versus tossing some more unneeded money at the stock exchange to prop it up. So what, we can now go to a PE of 30 and end up being a Chinese stock exchange that drops 30% in a month at some point? I mean, we don't want that. We want to just to let the market do what it needs to do.
Let normal traditional economics function as they're supposed to.
Yeah, maybe don't raise rates, but don't, please don't come back in and throw more good money after bad.
Even if they were to lower rates back to zero and say, we foresee no changes in this policy for the next 12 months or 18 months, there's some form of stability that's going to promote things to happen as they should.
I hope you're right, Joe, because I think you're exactly right. And that's the only thing they should do. Yeah. But I unfortunately don't think they're going to do that.
Right, and we did talk about that by them raising them, it's not the end of the world because now it gives them two options. They can raise again, or they can now lower.
By 0.25%, that's all they've got.
They can say, guess what? We were a little too early.
But think about that.
We overreacted.
Yeah, you're right. But think about that. As you're saying, we were a little bit early. They only raised 0.25%. It's not like we're talking that they raised it to 30% or so.
Right.
They raised it from 0 to 0.25. I mean, you know, that's...
You and I know that in the big picture, that is meaningless.
Yeah, and what did the 10-year do? Because I know it's back down to around 2%, to where?
I looked at that yesterday after the close. It was pretty interesting. Leading to the end of the year, after they made that increase, the 10-year note was up to 2.3%.
So that's before they announced the increase or after?
It was right after.
Okay, so 2.3.
That was the highest it got, was 2.3%.
Okay.
Right at the very end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And today we're at 2%.
Yeah. So we're back to where we started.
Yes.
Which is still lower than it was before they did anything.
Correct.
I can say if this market keeps going this way, I can see interest rates on the 10-year being below 10% by the end of the year.
Below 10, I think they'll be below
1, it means, sorry. The 10-year below 1%.
If they're just a little below 10 by the end of the year, I'll be happy.
You joker. Yes. So if they below, I could see them below 1% by the end of the year. Definitely below 1.5 at this speed.
It looks like, December 30th, the highest they got was 2.33.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was, well
that's below 10%.
November November 9th, 2.38 was the highest that it hit after.
Yeah.
Because it was not October. It was a later, was it October when they raised? October is the one they didn't, and then they did right before the end of the year.
Correct. In December they raised.
Right. So the highest we've seen is 2.38. After the raise, it went to 2.33, I think I said. Mm. And now we're at 2.0.
Pretty much 2. But I just don't see it. I mean, I can easily see the end of the year. It's at 1.5 or lower if the market keeps doing this.
Right, if the market sells off.
And which means that the CD rates and things like that are going to go way down.
Right. Well, we'll discuss what you can expect if this does continue. Just to give you an idea, and then we'll also discuss what maybe you should be doing and shouldn't be doing as this market unfolds. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. Thank you for joining us, sharing a little bit of your weekend with us. We left off talking about rates, where they had been, where they are, and Steve threw a bold prediction that if this continues, he would not be surprised to see the 10-year Treasury at or below 1.5%.
Yeah, which immediately means the poor people saving money are going to really be hurt.
Even worse.
You'll be lucky to find a 2-year CD above 1% again.
Right.
I think you can see a few here and there at 1.5.
There's always the teaser rate, just trying to get money on deposit that the smaller banks, and occasionally you'll see a big bank do that, but usually it's your smaller local banks, which we probably do encourage you to take advantage of those when they pop up if you need to have your money in a cash type position, because that's where you're going to get your biggest bang for your buck.
Agreed. So if you're seeing all of those rates go down, I mean, you think about a 10-year treasury. So you want some safety. You can put your money in 10 years in the U.S. Treasury and get 1.5%.
Well, even now, 2%, 2.03.
Well, I'm saying, by year end, it could be down to 1.5. Mm-hmm. So that's bad news for the savers and for the people on the side.
Well, the people that are relying on that type of income.
There's a lot of people that are, though.
Well, I think that is the biggest piece of population that has been probably affected the most by what has gone on since 06, 07, 08, when markets started falling apart. Rates have just gone down and down and down. And those people relying on the CD income or the treasury income, every time they have a maturity, look around and say, okay, we were making $1,000 a month. Now we're going to make $750, and then renews again. Now we're only going to make $500. So they're taking 50, 60, 70% or more of a haircut on the income that they've been living off of.
Right. Welcome to reinvestment risk.
Yes.
I mean, that sums up reinvestment risk exactly, where you invest in a fixed rate deposit and or some form and you come around to renew and it's a lot lower.
Right.
And that's termed, I mean, it is actually a technical term, reinvestment risk, for those listeners that don't know that. But yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And there's people that were in a 10-year note back in 2006, and they were getting their 6, 7%, and guess what? Here they go. They're going to renew, and it's going to be less than 2%.
Right.
Ouch. If you're making $6,000 a month off that note, it's going to drop to 2.
Right.
So you want to talk about an impact to your spending habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might have to move out and find a cheaper place to live. I mean, seriously, these are unfortunately the consequences of this low interest rate environment.
Absolutely. And along that note, just one of the main reasons we're here is to make you think twice about making decisions. A perfect example, there's a story out this week about MLPs.
Yeah.
As interest rates have dropped, there's been a rush, and we've talked about high-yield bonds and how everyone was moving their money there because, oh, those were safe. They're only paying 6%. Can't be that risky. And that's not where those high-yield bonds should have ever been paying. They should always pay significantly more, and they've taken an enormous hit as the year wound down last year in value. But the MLPs, the story says they are the most likely to cut their distribution payments.
Why?
So if you were relying on these MLPs mm-hmm. for your income, and now all of a sudden they're going to cut them, that's even worse than having to reinvest it at a lower rate because you're now getting zero on your money.
Correct.
So in an MLP, that's just a master limited partnership. And limited partnerships, they have a long track record of doing very bad things for the people investing in them.
Yeah, you know, it goes further than that because I was looking at an article the other day about endowments and pension plans, public pension plans. And typically an endowment, as most of you know, is often is tied in with universities and mm-hmm. schools and things like that. And they try and generate the funds to keep the fees down and pay the scholarships and things. And then the pension plans, of course, are trying to pay everybody their pension.
Right.
And they typically base it around a couple of things. Their pensions, obviously there's a pay-in amount that the company has to put in or the administration, whoever, has to put in, right?
On behalf of the employer.
Yep. And then they generate a return off that money, and that hopefully grows fast enough to cover the obligations. Well, they typically factor in about a 6 to an 8% rate of return, which they normally get. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the time they beat it. However, a big swath of their money is in bonds and fixed income because they need to just generate that income, right? And that is now this reinvestment risk. You talk about a problem, is now pushing those returns down to 3-2%.
which is causing the underfunding of all these pension plans.
Well, then they turn to the stock exchange, right, to juice their returns. And now we see what's going on here. So I think those funds are going to be, as you say, extremely underfunded. So the only way you can now fund them is for those companies either to step up and toss in tons of
their own money.
And we're talking billions. So we're not just talking a dollar or two. And that's going to obviously impact earnings. It's going to impact everything. And you could see a couple of defaults happening in this market because of this low income environment. And now because the stock exchange is just coming down, we could see some big problems coming in that market as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that is already a pretty under pressure area before any potential market meltdown or continued impact on the bond market. So,
I mean, this is a big problem.
That could be a big problem that really spills over.
Yeah, because up to now, they've been able to juice their returns with this fictitious stock market rally. Mm-hmm. And now if that unravels itself, they're going to be, at last count, it was something like $2 trillion
in pension obligations.
Unfunded. And this is just going to get bigger by the second.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's not going to be very good. Because your other option, of course, which we haven't even spoken about, is guess what? Just to cut the pensions.
Just cut them all together.
We can't afford them. This is all we can pay.
Well, that's unfortunately. Well, okay. I was interpreting what you're saying differently. You're saying just cut the amount that they're going to pay.
They're going to fund.
Instead of your benefit being $1,000 a month, we're going to pay you $500 a month.
Yeah.
So at least you have something. But again, that's the same concept as the reinvestment risk. Here's someone living off their fixed income, and people that are pension.
You took the words out of my mouth. So the poor people who get hit, they get hit twice. The pensioners get their pension cut potentially, and their savings aren't earning as much. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about an issue. Now you're talking about a complete social problem because you've got an entire bulk or massive part of the population that now suddenly can't afford to live anywhere.
Right.
Now what? Seriously.
But the government will help.
Thank goodness we've got Donald coming to fix everything.
he's going to cure what ails us.
Holy smokes. Can you believe half of what that guy said? Anyway, this isn't a political show, but
yeah. He's turned into a politician. So
very quickly.
Can you believe anything that comes out of any politician?
No. And so that's half the problem.
He fits it perfectly.
Which is another interesting thing to talk about. It is obviously an election year. So that's where I think there's a higher probability of the Fed stepping in and saying, hey, we need to do something. Because can you imagine the pressure they're getting from the politicians?
The pressure from the current administration.
Wow.
They're going to be leaning on them hard, which I already believe they've had a say in what has been done over the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And guaranteed they're going to do everything they can to make sure their party stays in. And I believe, and don't quote me for this being exact, but I believe it's pretty much 100% of the time if the stock market is performing poorly during the election year, the incumbent party is removed.
I think they're gone. But I was really interested. I was watching a show on TV the other day while we're on a little bit of politics here. I never realized, because obviously I'm an immigrant and I only got here later, but I didn't realize that Ronald Reagan, in his second term, when he got elected second term, he won every single state, the entire country.
Yes.
Unbelievable, huh? Talk about popular. Right. Wow.
And that's why they talk about him. He was, at that point, he would had established himself as a leader.
Yeah, well, we need someone like that back.
People could get behind, right. And that's why we've talked about this. Let's take a look around the entire globe. Where is there one leader?
I'll tell you where there isn't one, and that's South Africa and Zuma. It doesn't spark a level of positive comment.
Perfect.
Even with the name Zuma. And I don't know what that means in America.
Does it mean something worse?
it's Xhosa, I think, or Zulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave you with this. We'll get into more of the headline risk when we come back, but I was introduced to a very interesting quote just last week from Thomas Jefferson. So this is obviously many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it really shows the foresight that our founding fathers had. And if I can get this quote right, it may be a little bit paraphrased, but it was, a man who reads nothing at all is still smarter than a man that reads nothing but news.
I would add to that comment, and watches TV. Because he didn't have TV.
He didn't have TV back then. But it's or looks on the internet.
Yeah,
sees all the financial. But I mean that is great advice. And we'll cover more of that when we get back. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Welcome back. I hope everyone's done pondering that quote from Thomas Jefferson. And we are going to cover a little bit of that. And the facts are, again, when times become difficult, you should be doing this on a regular basis anyway, but if you aren't, it's absolutely a great time to go review whatever type of plan you have in place. If you have a planner you're working with, set up a meeting, go in and sit down with them and make sure everything you're doing is still in line with your most important goals based on your most important values.
Well, I think it's sort of, the thing I liked about that quote is really what he's saying is, do your own thinking. Everyone else is trying to force their opinion down your throat. You're better off to go and sit in the woods with no TV, no internet, no newspapers, no books, nothing, and just let your mind work out what you as a person want versus getting this complete. And it's almost like an intravenous drip these days. You can't get away from it. It's just in your face no matter where you go. You go and you fill up with gas in the gas station and there's a TV screen and there's a news
showing your market recap.
It's nuts. So it's almost impossible to get away, but he's exactly right. You've got to do your own independent research. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising. Once you actually do that, it's amazing how much clearer you can see and think.
Block.
That's why for people that have listened to this show, we don't obviously predict things, but we have been to some extent warning people that there's a correction coming. We have no idea what the magnitude's going to be, but it was pretty.
Or what it is. Maybe this is it.
Maybe it is and maybe it isn't.
Maybe we hit the bottom yesterday.
Yeah, but what we have been trying to explain to you is that do your own thinking, get your own plan going, make certain that you can stick with it when these types of situations occur. so that you're not panicked. You're able to go out and have a, you know, dinner with your family and not stressed out to the max. Or, you know, you've got your situation sorted. You're not in the state of panic. And one thing I would advise is somehow to try. And the one thing, the only real thing that can undermine you at this point, from what I can tell, well, there's two. Obviously, if you're relying on income from your, then you're in trouble. But outside of that, if you have no debt, you're going to be in a lot stronger position. And that's where I think for a lot of people got over leveraged. If you're relying on, let's say, income from your stock portfolio or from your loan portfolio, and it's not coming in, yeah, you've got some problems there. But outside of that, if you have no debt and you've got a fairly stable income, you shouldn't really have an issue.
Right. And you know? We've talked about this before. Cash is
a position.
A position. It is somewhere you should allocate money because, again, we don't know where the top of the market is. We don't know where the bottom of the market is. But along the way, there are opportunities when times get tough. And that is when people sitting with a little bit of cash are able to capitalize. And that's when you really see better than market returns, is when you're able to capitalize on those opportunities that arise during difficult times.
Yeah.
Granted, it is very difficult. Like in 2008, October, November of 2008, it was very difficult to look and say, I think we should put some money into the market. Or even in through February and March of 2009, mm-hmm. the middle of March, it was looking like every financial institution in the world was going to be out of business any day. Mm-hmm. That was a tough one. But if you would have had the cash and had the guts to say, The financial world cannot just collapse today and put some money into that, you would be up maybe 1,000%.
Correct. Yeah.
But that, I was one of those people looking saying, I don't know if I can trust a Wells Fargo, a Bank of America, a Chase, any of these big names. Like it looked like there was a chance all of them were going out of business, and all of those are still around. And they have all recovered quite well from the lows in early 2009.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. If we are going into a market correction, the previous one was based on a banking crisis, right? And that's a bad one to be in. I don't know if the banks are that exposed this time around. I really don't think the market is exposed like it was. The stock market got overvalued, but the banks and the financial industry, I think, are relatively well capitalized. They've got rid of a lot of their bad debts. The Fed's got them all.
Right. Yeah. They handed them off to the Fed. Congratulations.
So I think that they're okay. So I don't see that type of crisis hitting us, you know? And if you look at the recovery, we haven't had a year where GDP growth has been stronger than 2.5% since 2009. So it's not like we're overheated. Right. We're not overheated.
4 or 5 or 6% growth by any means.
Exactly. We don't have an unemployment rate that's 1% or 2% or something completely unsustainable. We don't really have masses of inflation, right? Which is the normal reason you end up in a recession.
Yeah, and the reality, with the exception of maybe healthcare, The big items that were causing the most inflation were gasoline and oil.
Correct.
And that's...
that's gone.
Ridiculously low.
Yep.
And maybe it rebounds, but...
Right. So the question you have to ask yourself is the stock market just correcting just to correct because it got overblown and now they don't have the Fed support? In which case, they've just got to let it go, right? And that shouldn't therefore feed into a recession.
Right.
Now, that's my hope. And unfortunately,
I
hope
see
is
your fingers are crossed as you're speaking.
Well, hope is the worst four-letter word in the investment world. But my hope is that it's just a stock market correction that sort of we just sort of bumble along at 1.5-1% GDP growth, and the banks are fine. They capitalized well enough, and so you know there's going to be a few things that'll be blown out of the water because there are some companies in the oil and gas field that are over leveraged and we're relying on being able to issue the shares to stay afloat that'll be gone. But that type of washout is needed.
Right, that's normal.
Correct.
Economic supply and demand. If you make bad decisions,
correct,
you go out of business, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, but as long as we don't see businesses shutting down across the country and unemployment rate starting to spike up to 8, 9, 10% again. I would hope that the Fed stays out of the way, lets the market correct down to a normal level, which would be around about 1,200 for the S&P, as I said. Mm-hmm. And then we can chug along from there.
Right.
So that's my hope. I'm not saying it's going to happen because most of the time when you get a stock market that rolls over like this, you end up in a recession.
Right.
But it's normally because at that point, you've got high inflation rates, everything's over, everything's just tight, over, too many people employed, everyone's over leveraged, the interest rates are going up like crazy because the Fed's trying to put the fire out and they overdo it and bam, you enter recession.
Right.
This time we don't really have any of those factors.
Well, is there concern with you being more of the stock market expert?
Okay.
Or just market expert? Walmart yesterday announced that they're closing down 270 some odd stores. Yep. It's affecting thousands of people.
Right.
But it's their smaller stores primarily, it
appears. Which weren't working anyway.
Right. So granted, that's just trimming some fat. Maybe that's getting out in front of a problem. Sure. And that's a natural part of business as well. You expand, you contract. You expand, you contract. It's hard to maintain that perfect equilibrium with any business.
Right.
You always want to test new markets. And I mean, Walmart is one of the most, if not the most successful retailer that exists.
Yeah.
Maybe it is price pressure from the likes of Amazon and Alibaba.
I think there is some of that. But I do think that you've got a situation now where I would say unemployment will start going back up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not expecting it to be like 2008 where it ends up 10, 12%. Right. I'm thinking maybe we go back up to 6 or 7 and it gives the Fed enough ammunition to be able to chop down interest rates their 0.25% and maybe do some...
Lop them big.
Yeah.
Cut them all the way to zero.
Yeah, 100% cut.
Well, along those lines, the end of the year, most earnings reports were good. However, the forward guidance was...
Right.
Things aren't looking too rosy.
No.
So is that what we're seeing now with Walmart saying, okay, our numbers aren't spectacular and we're going to have to shutter some stores and lay people off?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. There's going to be some of that.
Is it potentially a bigger problem or do you think this is something that's manageable?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We really don't know yet because it's too hard to know. But what I am saying is that in the past, you had this big meltdown because the financial world went upside down quick.
Right.
So companies couldn't get access to money or capital. They couldn't get loans. They couldn't fund things. So they just shuttered really quickly. This time around, the financial world seems to be relatively solid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're going to see some businesses laying people off, but I don't see it as being like a 2008 situation.
Okay. So it definitely looks and feels different.
Yeah.
And we will, there's one kind of fun big headline that I saw on Friday that I'll bring up and I'll get your view of it, being that you understand the more technical and charts and just the
right
that side of the world that I really
don't
understand and two don't pay attention to. So it's a bunch of lines going up or down on a piece of paper.
Well, we can talk about that when we come back.
Well, stick around. We'll talk about what I found to be the most entertaining headline of the week. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation Station. Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. And once again, just about every one of our shows is based on a question or comment we receive from our listeners. And we do enjoy getting the emails and responding and doing our best to help you make the smartest choices you can for any financial matter as it pertains to your life, and helping you make sure that you have a plan in place to help get you to achieve the goals that are most important to you. So, Steve,
yeah,
as we discussed right as we opened the show, there's probably only a week's worth of headlines just yesterday. It's up, it's down, it's sideways. Yeah.
It was down.
World, yeah. The world's coming to an end.
It is.
But the one I saw came
in about a trillion years, isn't it?
Trillion years, yes. Yeah.
When do we explode or the world dies?
I haven't even looked since about 5 o'clock last night, so I'm sure there's a boatload more that'll work us through the weekend. But this comes from Business Insider, and they generally have some pretty interesting pieces of information that I'll glance at. And this one caught my eye. It said, the stock market just did something it's done only three other times in the past 100 years, and it's not good.
No, I'm sure.
And what that is, as of yesterday, the market was down over 10% for the year already. In, what was it, August of last year?
Yeah.
Or it may be into September, the market dropped by just over 10%, even though it was a very brief time.
Right.
And granted, we have no idea what's going to happen. Maybe on Tuesday when the market's back up, they go up 500 points and go up 500 the next day, and then we're well back out of the correction range. But that two sharp drops in a very short period of time has only happened three other times.
Yeah,
you can probably guess which three.
1929, 2000, and 2008.
Correct. Dead on. So, again, this is information. I don't know what the underlying...
Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
...gain is from this article being put out. Maybe it is. It's Business Insider, so maybe it's just an informative piece, and that's all I took it for. Is I understand history doesn't repeat itself.
Well, I want to bring something up with regard to that. So 1929, 2000, and 2008, okay? 1929, 2000, how many years is that?
Just a couple.
Yeah.
Roughly 71.
And then suddenly again, 2008. Well, what has been done differently from 2000 or before 2000, call it 1997, to today that wasn't really done before?
Technology, instant
access. No, forget it. I'm talking about behind the scenes.
With the Fed pumping money into?
Yes.
The Fed intervening in the stock market?
Correct. That's
when,
what
when
I'm trying
to... When did the Fed come into existence?
When it was in the 50s or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was
so
the
it 50s. Didn't exist in 29, or maybe it would have
well,
happened.
Well, that's really... I think 29 was where it got started, the idea. But I think that if you look at it, to be honest, it's a clear indication of the added volatility that the Fed has created because of all this money they've pumped in. It's creating a massively volatile world. And someone once that I read about once likened it to, imagine you've got this massive bowl. I mean, massive, right? It's like as big as the earth. And you're trying to hold it up. And it's filled with water. And you, the whole, everyone in the world's got their hands up trying to hold it up. And of course, you get movements around because one person is stronger than another. And it starts sloshing over the sides. And wherever it sloshes over, that creates a bubble, right? And then it sort of, or puts the fire out or whatever.
It doesn't create a bubble. It creates a really wet person. Yeah. whoever's standing under that end.
Well, I give in. But no, so the point of the matter is, it's creating all of these problems. Maybe it creates a tidal wave then. But it just shows you that with this, if they didn't have that thing, if they didn't have that bowl full of water or money, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Just right. 10 years ago, the world debt was $20 trillion. Today, it's over $100 trillion. That's 10 years. We've added $80 trillion. And it's just sloshing around the world. It doesn't evaporate. It's constantly getting bigger.
You know the cure. They're going to create the trillion-dollar coin.
We all going to get one?
It's going to go away. No, we're not all going to get one. They're just going to print it and show it on TV, and everyone's going to say, oh, there it is. Everything's covered, and we're good now.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. If you believe that, then you... But I just think that what's happening here is the supposed idea that the Fed can calm everything down, can create this pool that's completely still and never wavers, is so flawed, and this is what's causing all of these headaches. And I'm not saying get rid of the Fed, but to some degree I am. I'm saying maybe they need to go back to the good old days where all they had was interest rate adjustments, and basically that was it.
Right.
But this whole idea that they can now just print as much money as they want, and they've managed to export that idea to all the other central bankers of the world. You've got Europe doing it now. You've got China doing it. You've got Japan doing it. You've got everyone doing it.
Right.
And guess what? It doesn't work. It's creating these messes.
Sure. And along those lines, because we're not predicting anything. We've talked about the possibility of a correction and the probability. A market cannot, it's proven over history, a market cannot sustain just going up and up and
up. No, and it's gone up longer than any other time.
Right. So sooner or later, there's going to be a correction. And what that looks like, who knows? 10% is considered a correction. So maybe as of yesterday, we hit that point and it's going to start to recover from here. If I was a betting man, I would guess it's probably got a ways to go further, but maybe it's another 2 or 3%. Maybe it's 20. Who knows? We don't know. I saw one analysis where they've looked at kind of the average length of the bear market cycle, and it's what you said, it's like 12 to 18 months, so a year to a year and a half.
Yeah.
And really, technically, if you want to look at the numbers, back around June or July of last year is when this bear market kind of started taking
shape.
Well,
at worst, August, right? Yeah, I guess July would be right. So then you're 6 months into it.
Right. So we're potentially halfway through the cycle already. So it might be over before we even realize it got fully started.
Correct. But I think this time, if it's a proper bear market, that means you're going to have another 20% to go. And a lot of it's going to happen in the last 3 or 4 months.
Sure.
So you're going to see, come like October, you could really just get... It could bounce around here for a while and look like it's stabilizing and then just wash away.
Or like another possibility, a bear market, we've talked about it, is not a bad thing.
No.
It could potentially go down another 20% from here and then slowly recover for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be a slow recovery if it wiped out that whole down.
No, but just start to recover. So maybe at the trough, it's down 30% from high to low. And then it recovers 5 or 10%. So, yes, it's still a painful year, but not nearly as bad.
Yeah. And that might be the case. A lot of people have said that for the simple reason, as I said earlier, the recovery's been so anemic that if you do have a drop in the market, it's not going to be as deep.
Right.
It could be a point where it gets down to, as I said, that normalized level, which would be a 15% PE, which takes it to 1,200 on the S&P, and you don't get that meltdown like RBS is doing to try and sell more people views on their website.
And now here's a very quick analogy to help put things into perspective as well. if you have a plan that is long-term in focus, this should just be noise. It shouldn't It shouldn't cause you to change tracks. And that's why I encourage you to go talk with your planner. If you don't have one, just reevaluate what you're trying to accomplish.
Make
sure what you're doing is in line with what those goals are. One of the best examples I could come up with is if you own a house that, we'll just call it $1 million for round numbers, just to make it easy for the example. Real estate market takes a hit and is down to 700. Do you panic and sell your house, or are you living in your house for long term? If you, and this is assuming you're in a house you can afford. Maybe you own it outright, but it's worth $1 million, and now the market has dropped and you've lost 30% of the value. Do you instantly panic and sell that house because of that?
That's why I said, going back to that example, if you're not in debt, no, you don't. If you've borrowed $1 million, you probably have to. And hence, well, I think that...
Again, it just depends. Can you afford that payment? Because you're planning on living in that house for another 20 years. Typically, the answer is going to be no. People aren't going to just immediately panic sell
their
house.
They don't trade and, like me.
Yes, that's correct.
I can't get my head around that. I'm like, yes, I would sell and save myself the $300,000, but okay.
But it's...
No, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you want to be long-term focused. And money that you need for tomorrow should not be... You shouldn't even be having a conversation about the stock market pertaining to those dollars.
That's why, to be honest, my point is valid. Whether you trade it or not, if you owed $1 million on that house, you probably would let it go because you're getting rid of $300,000 worth of debt.
Sure.
So you've actually made a gain of 300 grand.
Right.
And the flip side, if it's free and clear and it went from $1 million to 700, you probably wouldn't sell because you'd go, well, I know it's going to come back in the future.
Right.
So the question is, how quickly does it come back? And then is it worth taking that $300,000 hit or not?
Right. Well, that about does it for us today. Hopefully, there's some calming effect of our show today.
I feel better.
Me too. Well, we want everyone to enjoy the long weekend. Hopefully, most people have Monday off. And we will be back again next week. You have been listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
The Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.